Oh, greetings to each of you in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing and a privilege to be here and worship with you all. I was very encouraged and inspired by listening to all of you sing, especially the song that we sang about our heavenly home. I just to wonder in my heart, and I want you to look into your hearts, how deep is your longing for that heavenly home? That time when we will never again know defeat. Just, I was inspired by that singing. For a message this morning, I've chosen the title of Living with Purpose. It took me a little while sorting around and deciding what to use as a title, but that's the title I've chosen to give what the Lord's laid on my heart this morning. So, first of all, I'd like us to consider, I think we know what purpose is, but what is purpose? We know that Daniel purposed in his heart. And I think that's the kind of purpose that I want to look at this morning. I looked it up in the dictionary, and it gave two words that I think fit very well. It defined purpose as resolution or determination. And so what is the resolution or the determination, the purpose that we are living with today? And just in as opening thoughts, I would like to just look at a few examples. Actually, I have a number of examples in the Bible of people that lived with purpose. And I think there's something that each one of these people have in common that I want us to consider this morning. The first one that I have here is Noah. The Bible says that in the days of Noah, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And the Lord looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. But it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah lived in a world that was filled with evil, but Noah was different. Why? And then we know how God revealed that judgment was coming, and he gave Noah a plan, a way for him and his family to escape. Why? Abraham, he lived in Ur of the Chaldees with his wife and his relations there, and we know that God called him. He said, get thee out of thy country. And Abraham left. Hebrews says that he went out not knowing whither he went. He just went where God led him. And it's a long story. Many accounts of Abraham, how he sojourned here and there, and he went to Egypt, and then he came back, and then he went to the land of Abimelech, and here and there, and many things that Abraham did as he followed God. And at one point, God comes to him and he gives him a promise. He says, your descendants are going to be as the stars of heaven. But Abraham didn't have any children. Yet it says that Abraham believed. And then finally, when Abraham was 100 years old, he had a son, a miraculous birth. And Abraham and Sarah must have been delighted. But then the years went by, and in Genesis 22, God has a test for Abraham. He says, take thy son, thy only son, and offer him. And the next day, Abraham rose up and he went, and he obeyed God. After all those years of waiting for God to fulfill his promise, how could Abraham do this? This thing that just seems, this defies everything that God has promised to him. What was it in Abraham's heart that helped him pass this test? I have a couple examples for the young people. Joseph, a young man, and Daniel, both of them young men, that refused to defile themselves. We know how Joseph wound up in Egypt because his own brothers betrayed him and they sold him. And he was completely isolated in Egypt with no accountability. He was by himself. Yet we know he refused to sin with Potiphar's wife. The Bible says that she tempted him day by day. And she even tried to force him to sin, but he would not. What gave Joseph the strength to stand up to that test? And then we know how he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. And God, he was faithful in prison. And then later his brothers came, and Joseph could have got even with them, but he forgave them. What was it in Joseph's heart? And Daniel, he also was taken away from his family, taken to the land of Babylon. And it seems like he only had three friends that he could trust. and they were there in the king's palace, and they were supposed to eat the king's meat and drink his wine, but Daniel and his friends, they purposed that they are not going to defile themselves. And later on, we know the test that Daniel and his three friends faced, the temptation or the test of not praying to God, or you'll be thrown into the lion's den, or bowing down to the golden image. So what was it in their hearts that kept them faithful in these tests? And then there's Moses. I'm just going to read what Hebrews 11 says about Moses. It says, by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So what was it that made Moses refuse the easy life in Egypt and choose the hard road with God's people? We know the many tests and frustrations that Moses faced as he led the people later on through the wilderness. And there was a couple times where God wanted to pour down judgment on these people, and Moses prayed, no, no. Even though God said, I will destroy them and make a great nation from you. What was it in Moses' heart that kept him faithful? Another very familiar Bible example is Job. We know how in a day Satan took away all of Job's earthly things. It was gone. And Job's response was, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then soon after, his own health was destroyed. And his wife came to him and said, are you still going to retain your integrity? Why don't you just give up and curse God and die? And Job says, but you don't understand. Like, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? Job's outward circumstances had completely changed. But what was it in Job's heart that didn't change? It says, in this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And then later on, when Job and his friends were trying to sort out what all was going on, in Job chapter 13, verse 15, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. And that's just a tremendous testimony when we think about the circumstances that Job was in. I had to think of a couple examples of women in the Bible. Ruth, she left her homeland and her family to travel to a new land with her mother-in-law. She chose a new home and a new culture and a very uncertain new life. Why did Ruth go along with Naomi? And there's Esther, who was an orphan girl, who through God's working, found herself as the queen of Persia. Yet when she found out that her people were in danger of being destroyed, she didn't just stand by and say, what can I do about it? But she was willing to risk her own life to save her people. And her testimony was to her cousin, I think it was, Mordecai, she said, if I perish, I perish. What was it that gave Ruth and Esther the determination to do what they did? And then I'd like to look at a couple examples where this thing was lost. The example of Jehoiada and Joash. I think most of us are familiar with this story where Joash became king at a very young age. I think he was 7 years old. I didn't write it down. But Jehoiada the priest was there to help him. And when Jehoiada the priest lived, Joash did rightly. He chose to gather money and he repaired the temple, and the people worshipped in the temple. But the Bible says that when Jehoiada died, that the princes came to Joash and they talked with him, and Joash listened to them, and after that he started to worship idols. And after a while, God called Jehoiada's son to go and talk to Joash, and he warned him of the wrath of God. He said, if you don't turn away from these idols, you're going to face judgment. But Joash wouldn't listen. And he even went so far as to send his servants after the man. And it says that they stoned him in the court of the temple. So what was missing in Joash's life? And then we have the example of David and his son Solomon and his grandson Rehoboam. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. Yet David, he made some big mistakes and committed what we call some big sins in his life. Yet he always repented and he turned back to God and he served God with a true heart. And then Solomon becomes king and he starts off with a very humble heart. And he asks God, give me wisdom to lead these people, when he could have asked for something for his own glory. But then 1 Kings 11 verse 4 says this about Solomon. It says, it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. And then it was time to pass the kingdom on to Rehoboam. And we know how when Rehoboam became king, the people came and said, can you be a little easier on us? And so he asked counsel, and he listened to the older men. And then he asked the counsel of the younger men, and he listened to the counsel of the young men. And the result of that was that he lost most of his kingdom. So what happened? What did David have that Solomon lost and that Rehoboam never had? What was the guiding purpose and resolution and determination that moved Noah and Abraham and Moses and Joseph and Daniel and Ruth and Esther? And we could go on and on, including the martyrs of the early church, the Anabaptists, and the faithful people today. What is it that motivates us, motivated them to live like they did? Does anyone want to venture a guess? There's probably a couple answers, but there's one thing that I'm thinking of. What did all of these people have in common? Faith in God, that's the answer I figured I would get, and that's a good answer. But I want to go a step further. Their faith in God, because they believed in God, they chose to serve the Lord. Every single one of them at some point in their life chose to serve the Lord. I don't know when Noah chose to serve the Lord, but at some point he looked at the evil in his world and he said, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to serve the Lord. And Moses and Abraham and all of these people, at some point in their life, they decided, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't know when Ruth decided to serve the Lord. Was it when she was married and she learned about her husband, about God through her husband, or was it after they died? I don't know, but at some point Ruth decided, I'm going to serve the Lord. And when Naomi was going to leave, she went along because she wanted to serve the same God that Naomi did. And then after that choice, the way they lived made it evident who they served. That's the determination that helped them and motivated them to do the hard things that they did. So for the last part of the message, I would like us to turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. This chapter's very close to the end of Joshua's life. He gathered all the people together at the beginning of the chapter, and the first number of verses, he talks to them about the ways that God had helped them and the ways that God had worked in their experience in the past. And then in verse 14, I'm going to start reading there, it says, now therefore, Joshua says to the people, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should serve the Lord, forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for the Lord is our God. He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord is our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote those words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this is the stone. This stone shall be a witness unto you, unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man into his own inheritance. And so we looked at the example of quite a number of people in the beginning of the message, and how in their day they chose to serve the Lord. And throughout their life, wherever God took them, they lived out that choice. And now Joshua is doing the same thing to the people in his day. He is saying, today is the day to choose. And one of the things that really inspired me is how in verse 15, Joshua put this choice to them, and he didn't wait to see how they responded. He didn't say, well, let's see what happens, and then I'll decide. But Joshua stood up before the people, and he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And today, it's our day to choose. Today is our day to decide who we're going to serve. And my answer to that question is that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I don't know what God has in store for me, what I'm going to face yet in my life. And I'll admit that it's scary to think about some of the tests that I might face. Will I face huge losses like Job did, or severe moral tests like Joseph? Will God call me to move to a new land like Ruth, or ask me to sacrifice something that is very dear to my heart like Abraham? Or will he call me to do something strange for the safety of my family like Noah, or test me like Daniel and his friends to either deny my faith or die? I don't know. I don't know what God has in store for me. And I know that in my human strength, there is no way that I can be faithful. It's only through God's help. It's only by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit that I'm going to be able to keep this commitment. And I'm also determined that if I fall into sin like David, and God sends someone to me as a prophet like Nathan to reveal my sin, by the grace of God, I'm going to repent and I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep serving God. My resolution today is that I'm going to serve the Lord as long as I live. I really like the testimony that Paul gives in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So my choice is, I'm going to serve the Lord. Who are you going to serve? And here in Joshua chapter 24, the people said, God forbid that we should serve other gods. It's almost like, whatever makes you think that we're not going to serve the Lord? You know, we're going to serve the Lord. He's our God. And I was a little puzzled at first verse 19, Joshua replies to these people that are committing themselves to serve the Lord. He says to them, ye cannot serve the Lord, for God is a holy and jealous God. But I think what Joshua wanted these people to do, he wanted them to look deeper. He wanted to make sure that they understand what they're committing themselves to. He was saying to them, you can't just add God in. You can't serve the gods of the Amorites and the gods before the flood and God. You can't keep them all happy. If you're going to serve the Lord, you have to lay away these other gods. You can't do both. And I think the conditions for serving God are the same for us today. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have them both. You can't have money and God both as the driving purpose in your life. It can't be done. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it's the same thing. You can't love both at the same time. God is a jealous God. He is not going to accept divided love. If you truly love God, the love of the world cannot be in you. It will not be in you. The reality is, you can't have both loves as the driving purpose in your life. And so in verse 23, Joshua says to the people, now therefore, put away the strange gods that are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the same thing is for us today. Now therefore, put away all love of money and the world and fully commit your heart to serving God. And at this point, the people said, nay, but we will serve the Lord. It seems like they understood, they had a deeper commitment now. And then Joshua goes on in verses 25 and 26. And it says, Joshua, that he made a covenant and he wrote the words in the book of the law. And he set up a great stone. I think Joshua was putting this plainly before the people. He was saying, this is a commitment that should not be forgotten. And I want to set these things here as a clear reminder for every one of you to see and remember the choice that you made. I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. There's a few verses here that I want to read. In the faith chapter, there's a little excerpt, verses 13 to 16, that it talks about these people of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And we see that these people, they declared plainly who they served. They were not ashamed to serve God at any cost. And then it says, because of that, that God was not ashamed to be their God. And he prepared a reward for them, a better city and a better country. So how did these people declare plainly who they served? Well, it's very obvious. It was by how they lived. Everyone knew who Noah served. the people around Abraham, they knew who Abraham served. And Joseph and Daniel and these people, the people around Daniel, they were trying to find fault, but they could not, but they knew who Daniel served. And I think it should be the same in our lives today. It should be obvious who we are serving. So what are your daily choices declaring to the people around you who are watching your life? Is it very plain to them who you serve? Or are there things that you do or say that raise some doubts and questions about where your heart really is? Or maybe the people that really know you and are looking on and watching how you live are shaking their heads at how you claim to be a Christian, but the evidence that they see declares pretty plainly that you're not. And I certainly can't see into your hearts this morning, but I think that it's very likely that there are people here in every one of these categories this morning. So my question to you is, what is your life declaring? The choices that you're making, the way that you're living, what is it telling the people around you? In verse 15, there's an interesting thought. It says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." And I found in my life that when I have a clear vision of my true country and have a clear desire in my heart for the better country, that it goes a long way in helping me not to be ashamed to live as a pilgrim stranger. And it helps me keep my heart and desires on the right things. The things of this world grow strangely dim. Do you understand what that means? I think the only way for us to understand and know what that means is when we are willing to stop nursing the hankerings for the world and the pleasures of earthly things that come in, and we fully commit ourselves that I'm going to serve God and commit with our whole heart. That is when this verse becomes true, when the things of this world just, they don't appeal as much anymore. I'm not saying that there's no temptations, but there's some things that I'm not going to do because I'm serving the Lord. And so in closing, I want to lay before you the same choice that Joshua gave the children of Israel all those years ago. Choose you this day who you will serve. Will you serve yourself and money or the world and its pleasure? Or will you commit yourself to serving the Lord wherever He calls you? I would like to take a little time yet. If there's anyone here who would like to share their testimony, maybe you are like David and you're fully committed in your heart to serving the Lord. Yes, there's some times that you made mistakes, you committed sin, but you've repented and you put that behind you and you want to stand up and declare plainly who you're serving. Or maybe you're more like Solomon, where you started off with a clean heart and a true heart. But as time's gone on, some things have come into your life and it's turned your heart away, and your heart isn't perfect anymore with the Lord. Would you like to set up a stone today and declare plainly that you're not going to serve those things anymore, but you're going to serve the Lord? Or maybe you're like Rehoboam and you've never truly chosen to serve the Lord. You've just been busy serving yourself. I want to give you an opportunity to stand up and declare today that you want to be a Christian. Does anyone have anything that they'd like to share? Well, the Lord bless you as you consider this question and look into your heart and examine who are you really serving. And the Lord bless each one of you as you live out your resolution to serve him every day, no matter where he calls you. And I believe that if you commit your heart truly, God will be faithful. He will give you the grace and strength that you need to serve him wherever he calls you. Let's kneel to pray.